Turning to Zechariah chapter 13. With God's word open before us, can we seek the Lord's face as we come to the preaching of His word? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for these old hymns of Zion. Thank the Lord, there's power in the blood tonight. Thank Thee, O God, for the finished work of man's redemption. We rejoice this evening that there are those in our congregation and they can say from the heart, I am redeemed, O praise the Lord. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast redeemed us and set us free. Whom the Lord sets free shall be free indeed. But Lord, we're conscious that there may be those in our midst tonight and they have an outward facade of religion about them. They have a head knowledge of the Scriptures. But, O God, we pray earnestly that tonight they may have the heart experience of the new birth. And to this end, we pray that Thou would shut us in with Thyself just now. O God, close out every distracting thought. I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst endue us with the power of Thy Spirit tonight. That I would not preach with enticing words of man's wisdom. O God, that Thou wouldst enable us to preach in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Give me words tonight, O God, that must and shall prevail. Lord, may I be like Haggai of old, the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Hear our prayer. O God, work in our midst this evening, for we ask and pray these things. Savior's name. When we turn to the book of Zechariah, then we must confess that for many, we maybe are in uncharted waters. Indeed, that could be said for many of what are termed as the minor prophets. Not minor in relation to their content, neither in relation to their importance, but merely minor in comparison to some of the other prophets which are better known. But having said that, there are many familiar texts which are found in this book of Zechariah. In chapter 3, for example, we have the testimony of every child of God. For we are those that are likened to the brand which has been plucked out of the fire. There is in chapter 3 also the illustration of how Joshua was to have the filthy rags taken off him and he was to be given the new garments. And my dear soul, what a picture and what a type that is of what God has done for the soul in salvation. For the filthy rags of self-righteousness are removed and they are replaced with the spotless garment of Christ's righteousness. And tonight as God looks upon the child of God, He does not see us in our faults and our feelings, but we're clothed in the spotless garment of Christ. We're accepted in the beloved. But you know, the illustrations do not end there where Zechariah is concerned. The book, throughout his book, he speaks much of the first and second comings of the Lord to this earth. There is the graphic description of that day when he shall come again. And when his feet shall stand upon Mount Olivet, chapter 14, verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. The Lord is coming back again. It was from the Mount of Olives that he was to ascend back into the Father's throne. And he will come in like manner again. His feet shall again stand upon that mount. But dear soul, it is another illustration that I desire to look at this evening. For I am conscious that there could be some who are not yet prepared. And neither are you ready for the coming of the Lord again. For while there may be some sort of head knowledge of the Lord, and while there may be some sort of general recognition that the Scriptures speak of His return, yet your heart remains unmoved. And tonight you still remain unconverted in your sin, without hope, and without Christ in this world. There is a place where you need to get to. There is a place where you need to come to this evening, and that is where you know in your heart that your sins are forgiven, and your sins are pardoned, and they're washed away. And there is a place that I want to bring you to this evening in the words of my text. For if you get to this place tonight, I know by the grace of God, if you get there, and if you avail of God's wonderful salvation, then you will go home from this church tonight a sinner who has been redeemed, and a sinner who is ready and who is prepared to meet the Lord. What is the illustration? What is the place? It is a fountain. And it is that which you read about in the first verse of Zechariah chapter 13. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. The open fountain tonight is where I want to bring you to. I want you to notice, first of all, the provision of this fountain. When we cast our eye upon this verse, then you'll notice that this prophecy has to do with the promise of a fountain. It, in that day, there shall be a fountain. It was something which Zechariah had promised and which he was foretelling. There was a day coming when it would be clear that a fountain was provided for all who sought it. And you'll notice it would be a particular time. It is in that day. To which day is he referring to here? It would be the day of the gospel. When the Spirit of God's grace will be poured out upon the hearers. And dear soul, tonight, that day was not just when Christ came, as was promised by Zechariah, as was promised by the other prophets in the Old Testament Scriptures. It was not just that time when the people of Israel were to hear the Prince of Preachers, for he preached not like the religious Pharisees of their day. For this was a man who preached in words of authority. But alas, the day of the gospel is not just when Christ came. But that day of which this verse refers to in the mercy and grace of God is still upon us tonight. The Lord in the midst of us this evening is still mighty to save, and we're still living in the day of God's grace where souls can be gloriously converted and gloriously saved. My dear friend, without any knowledge of God's salvation, I tell you this evening that this fountain of which we read about in this verse and which is promised, it is still true to this very day. There will come a time when God's Spirit will not always strive with man. And that being the case, it behoves the unsaved to consider the provision of this fountain now and today. If you will hear His voice, then harden not your heart. For there's a day coming when God's Spirit may not speak to your soul. And then it'll be forever too late. But consider also that this is a fountain which is freely available. You'll notice it is opened. In that day there shall be a fountain opened. Here's a fountain which is not sealed. But it's opened, and what more, it is a fountain which always stands open. There is no hindrance or obstruction in coming to it. Only what obstructions men place in their own way. A sealed fountain is of use to only the one who seals it. If you come with me to the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, and the words of chapter 4 and the verse 12, I believe you have there a picture of a sealed fountain. Song of Solomon, which is Solomon's, Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, a lovely picture of Christ and His church. It depicts the shepherd and the Shulamite girl. And often throughout the chapters of the Solomon's Song, you'll find pictorial language as one describes the other. Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 11. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. And there's a description there. His lips were like honey. But you'll notice how he describes his spouse in verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. And there you have the shepherd, and he's setting forth a picture of his beloved and his spouse. She is like a walled garden. Now, I want you to consider that in the Eastern setting, a garden was something which is very desirous. A walled garden was something very precious. And here he likens her to the walled garden, something which is beautiful, but it's secure, and it is kept for himself. And the same analogy, the same Titus continued on in the verse, for she is like the spring shut up, she is a fountain sealed. She was exclusively for him who had set her apart, a fountain reserved with his seal upon it, and only to be opened in secret by him who knew how. And dear friend, that is the church in relation to Christ. Once a barren, once an unfruitful, once an unattractive wilderness, yet because of Christ, he has made her into something beautiful. And she is for exclusively for him. He has purchased a church with his own blood. And with that security where she is separated from and different from the world. The church is a sealed fountain unto God. But here, dear friend, in Zechariah chapter 13 is a fountain where Zechariah speaks of it being open. The poverty and the nothingness of the sinner in this world does not prevent them from coming to this fountain. For I remind you of the prophet's words of Isaiah in chapter 55, verse 1. He says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat ye, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price." They who have no money can come to this fountain. They can come to these waters. For here is a fountain freely available. The soul that has never been to this fountain is welcome to do so. And indeed tonight I would stress upon you, you must needs do so. For you'll notice, dear soul, tonight that the provision of this fountain is identified. What is this fountain of which Zechariah has promised? Of which he speaks of here of being opened. It is not a picture of the church as with the Shulamite girl in the Song of Songs. But rather it is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the shepherd of the sheep. We read of the shepherd there in the reading of verse 6 and 7 of this chapter. Wake, O sword, against my shepherd. Here is a picture of the Lamb of God. Or you will notice Zechariah identifies such in the words of chapter 12 and verse 10. For he says, "And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced." There is the open fountain. There is the fountain of death. It is Christ Himself. For you will remember when the soldiers came to break the legs of those that hung on the cross. And they came to break the legs of Christ so as to hasten His death. They recognized that He was already dead. And thus, in fulfillment of the Scriptures, not a bone of His was to be broken. But instead, the soldier took that spear and he drove it into his side. In the words of John 19 and verse 34,
But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Forthwith came there out blood and water. This fountain is identified. It is the Lord Jesus Christ and His atoning work on Calvary's cross. And when the repentant sinner will look to that wounded side, it will cause you to mourn tonight. Or I trust it will do so. This was particularly the case when Peter preached Christ crucified on the day of Pentecost. For you will recognize that when he had finished preaching, it says in Acts 2 verse 37, now when they had heard this, when they had heard Christ uplifted, when they had heard about Christ being crucified, and it was led to their charge, it says they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What will you do tonight? Oh, repent of your sin tonight, I plead of you. They looked to Christ, and they mourned for Him not for His sufferings, but for their own sins that procured those sufferings in His own body on the cross. Looking by faith upon the cross of Christ will set us a mourning for sin, for it was our sin that placed them there. I wonder, dear soul, have you looked yet? I wonder, have you realized yet that He was wounded for your transgressions and He was bruised for your iniquities? And when you look by the eye of faith, you will see this fountain of which this prophet speaks about. It is the fountain that has been opened. It is a fountain which is identified. And praise His name, it is a fountain which is freely available to all in the gospel tonight. But let me show you the purpose of this fountain. When we think of a fountain in the physical sense, and it naturally comes to mind, one of its uses and purposes is for refreshing water. That was the case for the first time when we see this word used in the Scriptures. The first mention of any word or any thought or any doctrine in the Scriptures is important. And we notice with Hagar, in the words of Genesis chapter 16, that when she was cast out by Sarah, she was to be found to hide herself by a fountain in the wilderness. In the words of verse 7 of that chapter, and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. If she was ever going to survive, then she needed to get to the place where there was refreshing water available. And that water would quench her thirst in the very heat of the noonday sun. This fountain meant the difference between life and death. This fountain in Zechariah chapter 13 is the difference between life and death for you tonight as well. Eternal life and eternal death. That's how important it is. Oh, my friend, the type holds good when we consider the Lord Jesus Christ as this fountain. For He was that rock that was smitten of God and afflicted. He was that rock which supplied the children of Israel with all they needed in the wilderness wanderings, even the very water. He is the one from which flows the water from which none shall ever thirst again. And it was before a well that the Lord was to speak of this life-giving water to the woman of Samaria. Remember how we read of that in John's Gospel in the chapter 4, in the words of verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. And He was speaking there of the physical water at the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And you dabble and you get to the wells of this world, I tell you, you'll still thirst. You'll still want more. You'll never be satisfied. But get to Christ tonight and taste of the water that He is able to give, and you'll have everlasting life. I wonder, will you say like that woman did that day, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." Is there one tonight that wants to get to the Savior and wants to taste and see that He is good and wants to thirst no longer in this old world? Then I uplift to you tonight the fountain of living water. Even Christ Jesus Himself. The purpose of this fountain is for refreshing, life-giving water, eternal and abundant life, which is only to be found in Christ, and which Christ alone can give to the needy sinner. But as the words in our text suggest, the fountain is foremost for the removal of sins. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. The primary purpose of this fountain, as Zechariah speaks of, is for the removal of sins. It is for sin and for uncleanness. And those words surely remind us that we are all as an unclean thing and deserve to have our portion with the unclean. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. And just as in the Old Testament times, the uncleanness and the pollution of sin is that which bars us from the presence and from where God dwelleth. For I remind you, as Revelation chapter 21 in the last verse reminds us, there shall in no wise enter into heaven, anything that defileth. You can't get in there with your sin. There is no sin in heaven. For God is a holy God and He can't look upon sin. So, dear soul, for you to be in God's heaven, you need to get rid of your sin. Get out of that one. Sin is that which keeps the soul out of God's heaven. Sin is that which incurs the wrath of God. For being a holy God, He must punish it. And the condemnation of God already hangs over you, dear soul. So let no one be in ignorance tonight. We have all been shapen in iniquity and in sin that our mothers conceive us. And like the leper, we could cry out tonight, if you're not saved, unclean, unclean. Yet the mercy of God has provided us. And its purpose is for the cleansing away of that sin. Your sin. Its purpose is so that our sins can be purged. And so that you, the sinner, can be cleansed. Here is a fountain which can deal with the pollution of man's sin. It can pardon the guilty, sinful, and filthy soul. For this fountain is for sin and for cleanness. For understand, dear heart, tonight this fountain is like none other. Its purpose is for the redemption of the sinner. That is why Christ came. He came to redeem a people unto Himself. And that meant humbling Himself. And that meant making Himself of no reputation. And it meant being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross itself. And going to Calvary. And there laying down His life, receiving those nails in His hand and in His feet. It meant Him becoming sin. He who knew no sin yet became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. And there He was to die the death of the cursed. For the Word said, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." He died in my guilty room instead and in yours, to bear away the punishment of our sin. And there on the cross, His side was riven with a spear, and out flowed the water and the blood, for His heart was broken for the sinner. And while He hits your sin tonight, and while the Lamb of God died an atoning death, so that your sins might be pardoned and might be forgiven, yet I tell you tonight the message is that Christ loves you, the sinner. And praise His name, the message of the gospel is that Christ has finished this work of redemption. It's completed. For this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down on the right hand of God,
Christ, having died on the cross, was to enter into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He cannot be put to death again. Calvary can never be repeated again.
It's finished. The buying back of His people from the slave market of sin and from the bondage of the devil has been accomplished. And if you are to know the blessing of God's salvation, you are to know forgiveness of your sins and pardon from them, then I remind you tonight in the gospel, there is a fountain. It's the fountain of which Zechariah speaks of in this verse. And it's a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. And it is to this fountain that you need to come to now. It is now that day of God's grace, when this fountain is still open, and to which you, the guilty, hell-deserving sinner, are invited to come. Now, did you hear me? It's not the font of baptism we're talking about. It's not a fountain of the ordinances of the church that we're talking about here. It's not a fountain of good works. It is Christ and His five bleeding wounds we received on the cross. It is to that fountain of the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He accomplished our salvation and redemption on the cross, that alone can save your soul tonight. What about it, my friend? In knowing the reason, in knowing the purpose of this fountain, in knowing that it is Christ, I ask you tonight, will you avail yourself of it and be saved? Will you come? I want to show you finally the power that's in this fountain. You see, I want you to see the power that resides in this fountain tonight. It is powerful because it is sufficient to cleanse away all sin. That can be seen in the people to whom it is offered in this verse. Let me read it to you again. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Here is a pardon which can be considered to be offered not only to the high and the lofty of society, but also to the leaders, as the house of David was in that day. But it is also to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It is also to the poor folk who dwelt there in the city. In other words, this evening, in whatever category you may desire to place yourself in, here is a fountain which you are invited to come to, and you can avail yourself of its power. It's for the rich and it's for the poor. It's for the exalted and it's for the lowly. It's for the leader and it's for the led. It's for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. But in considering the house of David, I am also drawn to think of the sins that were found in that house. There was the sin of idolatry there. For David took unto himself another man's wife in Bathsheba. He committed adultery. There was a sin of deception there, as he sought to deceive the fact and cover the fact up that he had sinned in this manner. There was a sin of treachery there, and it led to murder as he sent Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, onto the front line of the battle in what was the hottest part of that battle. And he gave the command for the others to retreat from him so that he was left alone and he was killed in battle. Adultery, deception, treachery, murder. You see how many sins, and that is to name but a few, that is found in the house of David.
And when, dear soul, you look at the house of David in the context of this verse, then you are reminded of the sins that were there. You are considering a house where many sins were to be found. And that is why I believe the Holy Spirit, through Zechariah, uses such an example. Why? For this fountain is sufficient to cover away all sin.
Sufficient tonight to deal with all sin. The power in the Savior's death is sufficient for the worst of sins and for the greatest of sinners. I don't know who the worst sinner is in this service this evening.
I don't know who the hardest heart in this service is tonight, but I tell you tonight, here is a fountain which can deal with your sin and with your heart.
And if you ever want proof of that, then just come with me. As we think of a second of the words of the Apostle Paul to some in the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in the words of verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Not some list of iniquities and sins. The very darkest of this world. You see, he says in this verse, such and such. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. There was the deep dyed sinners in the church at Corinth. Some of them were known amongst those sins. But he says, now ye are washed. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, we could suggest, were just as sinful as the house of David. For they were guilty of one of the greatest of sins. And that was the rejection of the Son of God. He came unto his own, but his own received him. Jerusalem stoned the prophets. They refused to acknowledge Christ. But this finding is sufficient to pardon even that sin. And maybe tonight in our meeting you may not be guilty of idolatry or adultery. You may not be an extortioner or a drunkard, or some of the other sins of this world. But you may have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have rejected the message of God's salvation. You're in true different miseries. You see, the finding is powerful tonight. It's sufficient to deal with all sin. And it's powerful because its content is the shed blood of the Lamb of God. The hymn writer asks the question, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. But the good news of the gospel to your heart tonight is that Christ hath shed his blood. And there is remission for the whosoever will come. Your sins can be cleansed. They can be removed tonight from you as far as the east is from the west. Never to be remembered against you again. Never to be led to your charge now or even on judgment day. God can take your sin tonight and place them in the sea of his forgiveness. Only the power of Christ can do that. It can take a vile sinner and render them forgiven and just. Only such power is found in this fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The hymn writer got it right. He said, no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You want to be in God's heaven. You want to have eternal life. Then get to this fountain tonight by faith. Have your sins washed away, and one day you will be in that heavenly Jerusalem, and you'll be wearing those robes washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. It remains for me to ask just one final closing question. Have you plunged beneath this fountain yet? Have you lost all your guilty stains? If not, then I plead with you to come by faith now. Where you are, receive Christ as your Savior. Ask Him into your heart to forgive your sin and to save your soul. Thank God, He says, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I tell you tonight, come. For there is still power. still power in the fountain of the Savior's blood. Cleanse away your sin. And you come. Lord, help you to do so. Let's bow in a word of prayer, please. Father, we thank Thee for the message of the Gospel tonight. We thank Thee for the fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. We thank Thee this evening that the shed blood of the Lamb of God is as powerful as ever. Give the saving grace, O God, in the closing seconds of this meeting. To look away by faith to the Lamb of God. To receive Him as their own Lord and Savior. And to know forgiveness of sins tonight. And redemption through His blood. Speak, we pray. We ask in our Savior's name.